Yeah, definitely. I'm going to throw a show note in there because I definitely wanted to say thanks to Mark Levis because I really, really enjoyed the episode when he was in Europe. And I think it's important that, you know, if he listens, I don't know if he's a listener or not, but hey, thanks. You know, I enjoyed it. I'm bagging what you're raking. You know what I'm saying? And
I never heard that before. That's a good. I like that. I'm bagging what you're raking.
Well, you know, you reference the leaves, and we're getting really close to fall, so I'm bagging what you're raking. So that's.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, we talk extensively about our beautiful brides playing Ingress, prepping the Prius for the drive to CH, and the Jeep is at the Jeep Doctor. All that and more on Late Night. And now, digitally gathering at the Plush QRM Studios in Southwest New Hampshire, here's Joel, Barry, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 153. Hey, that was my old Boy Scouts number, troop number. 153. Woohoo! Yeah, no. Sorry, it's a number in my life. Important number in my life. Kept me on the straight and narrow, let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
Boy Scouts did because, yeah, I was, let's put it this way. In sixth grade, there were the three troublemakers, of which I was one of, and the teacher's desk formed the fourth desk in our little group. And actually, my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Bender, got me into Boy Scouts, and it was the best damn thing that ever happened to me. So, and Troop 153, Eagle Scout from Troop 153, Center Square, Pennsylvania. All right. Anyway, welcome everybody to Late Night QRM from the Monadnock region in the southwest corner of New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
That would leave you, Michael.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, I almost said beautiful. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, all right. Jeez, all right. I just thought I just dropped off the face of the earth there. From the man cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor, this is Michael, the virtual Leaper.
And it's, the weather here has been, all I can say is, Auntie M, this afternoon. And not so much here, because we have the mountain protecting us, the mountain and the hill protecting us. But uh-huh. Joel, where you live, holy shit.
Yeah, four streets over, you need a boat to make it down the street.
Really?
My beautiful bride actually said she had friends from Facebook post pictures where while sitting in their car, they got trapped on the road that flooded out, flash flooded. Wow. Water came into the car, and there are photos of them, literally the car half full of water.
Oh.
And that's four streets away.
That sucks. Oh.
So, yeah, it's trees down everywhere. I do mean everywhere. Power outages. Most neighborhoods in the area.
Yeah, I was watching. We were watching channel. I was actually. I said channel 5, and when we were texting, but it was actually channel 9, the local station here. And they interrupted the football game. They had the football game playing in a little square in the corner, and they were showing the map. And they showed Nashua, and they showed first, you know, the storm line, and it was all red. I mean, all of Nashua was red. And then they put the lightning strikes on top of it, and you couldn't see any red anymore. You couldn't even see Nashua spelled. I mean, that's how many lightning strikes there were in
Nashua. Yes. The house across the street from mine, I counted 7.
Jeez.
And then across the street, in the opposite direction, at 90 degrees from me, because I live in a corner, that neighborhood was just getting, honest to God, it was like mortar shells coming down. Watching the, seeing the lightning hit. I don't know what it was hitting, but, you know, closely followed by all the sirens. So wow. You're like, okie dokie, they're lighting something on fire. Yeah. But it was impressive. I was waiting for our house to get hit, and it didn't. Thankfully, knock on wood. So I sat here and watched what the hell, that Men in Black.
There you go. That works. So, yep. But yeah, it was pretty hellacious, and that's over now. So I think it's going to usher in more fall like temperatures and weather coming up, mm-hmm. because it is September.
Yeah.
Of course, peak week for leaves around here is usually the second week of October. So the countdown is on. The green will be disappearing soon.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. So anyway, and the only other news I have this week that was exciting for me, it was again playing. I still play Ingress. I haven't been playing as much as I have been in the past, but you know, as you approach a new level, you start playing a little more and a little more during the week. Well,
right.
Yeah. Friday night, level 10, right here.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
So, it was a moment. It doesn't, level 10 doesn't really give you much. It just gives you some extra, you can store some extra XM. That's about it. And prestige, if you want to call it that, you know. But, yeah. So I was looking at level 11 next, and I got to get a silver. I think I got to get one silver merit badge, as I call them, merit badges, and two golds, and then another 2 million AP points. It'll take me a little bit. At least it's not. It's about the same as the last time. So yeah, it's going to take me a while. It'll probably take me 2 or 3 months, and the badges are getting tougher to get. So I plan to get a lot of uniques while we're visiting Copper Harbor, wink wink.
You're here. Yes sir.
And when we stop at various places,
the one portal.
What's that, Michael?
It depends how many times you want to stop the one portal we have.
Well, one portal, you know, Michael, I'm gonna have to bring you up. I'm gonna have to drop you a bunch of keys for down here, and I'm going to have to collect a lot of keys from Copper Harbor, because that's a unique position up there. That could be interesting. So we'll see. We'll have to.
They do occasionally send couriers from the Resistance up here with capsules, and they fill them up with Copper Harbor.
Do they? Yeah.
Portal keys. Actually, people come up here to get keys from me.
Yeah. But all I know is there's a whole bunch of new frogs, and it's getting hard to play around here because, you know, we have a frog in almost every town now. So it's getting difficult, but we'll keep going. Because it's a fun game to play.
Absolutely. I just started getting back into it a little bit myself now that work slowed down and a little less stressful. So it's I can afford to go out and see what trouble I can get into. But realistically, it's still so much more fun to play with somebody else.
Yeah, well, we'll get you up here because there's a lot of green up here. The other problem with you is you're down there, and that's, you know, you live on Payne Street. And,
yeah.
And it's always blue. And it's always level 8.
So, yes.
So that's boring for you because, you know, you can't get out and walk around and take stuff because it's already taken and kept that way. So, but yeah, matter of fact, I went past your house, actually yesterday I went past your house.
Huh?
Because, you know, after work, I drove down Payne Street and I was thanking God for all the traffic, because at every light I was sitting there hitting. Let's say it this way: I was totally out in inventory, and I filled mine. I went down, and this is what I do: I go down and I go around the circle and come back up Payne Street. And
oh, all right, so you truly did go right past.
I did
my
go
house
right past your house. I waved. You didn't see me.
No, I was in the bathroom.
Okay. But and by the time I looped down and looped back up Payne Street, it was I was full. My inventory was full.
I can fill up my XM reserve just by sitting in the living room.
Yeah, I believe it.
It just floats to you, and you're like, bling, 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 XM, 21%. Next thing you know, 100%. Thank you. Turn it off.
So, but, yep. So I was loaded for bear last night, and Peterborough was totally green, and I went up there, and boy, it didn't take me long either. Boom, 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 and I was level 10. So, nice. Nice, nice, nice. Anyway, okay. So... that was another thing I forgot to put down in the show notes. I've been having show 152 as we're recording 153 here. Show 152 is still unedited and it's not out on the feed. Sorry. Uh-huh. I was busy at work. Of course I was close to level 10 on Ingress, so yeah, you know. And also, we've been having major... I had problems with my tubes this week.
Your tubes? Were they all clogged up?
Yeah, my tubes were clogged up, and things weren't getting out. And as much as I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I pushed, but my tubes were clogged. And it was just, you know... Not only that, but, you know, the incoming tubes were also clogged. Which was pretty tough. So,
right.
Yeah, there wasn't much internet here, and I called Fairpoint, and we tried to. Well, I called Fairpoint and said, "Look, you know, I'm having problems. I'm getting less than a MIP down." And
excuse me, sir, did you try powering your cycle?
The first thing the guy says, have you tried, and he didn't do it in an English accent, I wish he had, because the first thing he said, have you tried turning it off and then turning it back on again? I started cracking up, and he goes, what's wrong? I said, is this the AT crowd? he starts cracking up, and I said, yes, I've tried that. He goes, well, let's do it again. I said, I knew you were going to do that. I'm ready to try it again. And we did it again. And then we did a couple speed checks. And he says, okay, well, I'll put a ticket in for you guys. And we'll send a group or, you know, somebody out to your house to check it out. And they'll call you when they're going to be there. Well, my wife had a doctor's appointment the next day, and it was in the afternoon, but I called her around lunchtime. I said, did they ever call? And they said, she goes, no, nobody called. So I said, okay, well, they're probably not coming. So she goes off to her doctor's appointment, and when she gets home, there's a note on the door that they were there and they fixed it from the outside, and that the internet should be
like magic.
Yeah. So when I got home, I did the old speed check, and no difference. I don't know what they did on the outside, but it made no difference whatsoever. So I called them back up, and got a different person this time, and told them that they supposedly fixed it from the outside, and it didn't work. And of course, the first thing that person said was, "Well, have you tried turning it off and then turning it back on again?"
No, I did not.
Because, you know, they did something outside. You might have to reset it. And I said, nope, I didn't do that. Let's try that. And we tried it, and same speed test results. They said, okay, we're going to send you a new modem, DSL modem. And it'll go out tomorrow. You'll probably get it Thursday. And I said, okay. And so Thursday came, and it was here. And I went to set it up, and... I tried to use the default login and password, and it didn't work. Wouldn't let me in. And I tried a bunch of other ones, and it didn't work. Wouldn't let me in. I RTFM'd and used the one they said in there, and it didn't work. So finally, I had to call them, and then the person on the other end said, "Well, did you try turning it off and turning it back on again?" Seriously, they actually said this. I mean, I thought it was a joke on the IT crowd, but it's the first thing they have you do. And I said, okay, we'll try it. And I unplugged it, wait, counted to 10, plugged it back in. No, I still can't get in. So then she goes down a list of user names and passwords to try, and we try all of them, and we're trying them, and we're trying them, and then finally, it's of course it was the last one we tried, but yeah, I wouldn't need to go.
I hope so.
We tried.
It was the third one we tried, and we skipped it,
and that one worked. I said, "I'm in." That worked, and so I got the thing all configured and everything, and. It was better. Of course, as soon as I got it configured and everything, I had to turn it off and turn it back on again so that all the settings would, you know, work, the new settings. Right. And it seemed to get faster. Although, now granted, I was doing the speed tests on a Wi-Fi connected, my MacBook Pro. So It still wasn't 15 MIPS down, but then I was thinking, well, I'm not going to get 15 MIPS on Wi-Fi, right?
Right.
So, you know, the most they go, you go is, what, 10? Huh?
No, you can get, depends on which version of Wi-Fi you're running, but you can go a lot. You can do 50.
Really? Because I'm on G, and I've never...
I was going to say, I get 154 at work.
Really?
Over Wi-Fi.
I don't know what, yeah. I don't know what the settings
It's probably are. N, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. So on the Wi-Fi, I was getting, like, 10 down and 1 up. Which I'm only supposed to get 1 up. I'm supposed to get 15 down. But then today, so I was going to give him a call again. It was working. It's working better. I was going to give him a call today. And then I came up here to my two wired systems. And I did speed checks. And they were giving me 15 down and 1 up with no problems whatsoever. Multiple checks. So I'm thinking, okay, this is as good as it's going to get. I'm not getting the 17 right. down I used to get when... the system was first put in, but I'm getting 15 and that's what I'm paying for. So, I guess I'm happy but I'm still a little leery about it. And although it's been acting fine here so far talking to you guys. So
it sounds good.
Yeah. So we'll see. So that was my week of, playing with tubes and playing with Ingress and that's it. Other than, and I had a doctor's appointment and my A1C, because as everybody knows, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and my A1C has dropped to 7.7. Now you say, ooh, that's high, but in January, I was at 8.8. So obviously the running is working.
Yes.
And I say that with the... letting you know that I haven't run in 2 weeks because of my back, and but I will be probably going out tomorrow and getting back into it, and I've got to figure out when I'm going to run, because you know daylight hours are over after work. When I get home, it's getting dark now,
right.
And I think it was Doug was saying he's been running with a headlamp. I tried that, but if you saw our road, and Joel knows my road,
yeah,
you don't want to run on that in the dark, because it's a country road and cars don't pay attention, and B, it's a country road that every year goes through frost heaves. And they only pave them once every 5 years. But after one season of frost heaves, it's, it looks like...
lumpy!
The road from hell, let's put it that way. And that's... New Hampshire roads are the roads from hell. It's too easy to trip in the dark, even with a headlamp on. So I'm kind of shying away from that idea. I'm playing with the idea of running on Tuesdays and Thursdays during lunch at work. But that just means people are going to have to put up with me sweating all afternoon. Because I will sweat. I could go in, take a shower, and I'll still sweat the rest of the afternoon.
That's one thing I wish we had at my work was showers. So you could, if you did a workout during lunch.
Really?
My old employer, we had a gym.
Yeah.
And we used to do that. You know, go down at lunch, work out, grab a shower, get all cleaned up, go back to your desk. That's when you usually answered all your emails and ate your lunch when you were answering the emails right after. But, it is what it is.
Well, we do, because we do also have a workout room.
Cool.
With bikes and treadmills and stuff, but I hate doing treadmills. I'll do it if the snow gets bad. I'll go on a treadmill, I guess, but...
Right.
The whole idea of running is the scenery changes as you're running, and that's what I like.
What about, well, actually, you can't go out early in the morning either because it's dark as hell.
It's dark. That's the other thing about this. We're getting into, as I call, the dreary part of New Hampshire because it's dark when I get up and it's dark when I get home. I really don't see the Monadnock region except for on weekends, you know, from September until March, the end of March.
But the air's real clean.
The air's real clean, but it's as far as I'm concerned, it's always dark, except for the weekends. The weekends, it's nice out. It gets light.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about cutting the grass.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true. Although this year, I think I'm going to be cutting it a little longer than the last couple times because it's still growing, and it's growing quite a bit. As a matter of fact, it stayed green the entire season this year, which is unusual. Usually parts of it brown out in, July, August.
Well, not compared to Michael, but we had a lot of snow.
Had a lot of snow. We had a lot of rain this year. We had, and I won't say a lot of rain, but we had rain every week, pretty much. You know, there's always a day where it rained or something, whereas before we'd go sometimes 2-3 weeks without any rain whatsoever, and that's what usually dries it out. But, it was a wet summer, a cool summer. I liked it.
I wish it was.
It was cool up here. I mean, we had a couple hot weeks, but it was nothing compared to last summer.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
Last summer, it was up into the hundreds for like a month.
Yeah.
And, because that was the time when the lawnmower was broken, I was push mowing.
Yeah, I was waiting. Actually, I was dreading that phone call that I get where you friggin' just clutch your chest and fall from heat exhaustion, which caused a heart attack because you're out cutting the lawn in 110 degree heat. 3 acres with a push mower.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it.
I'm sure you did.
Anyway, so that was my week. Anybody else have anything for this week to talk about?
Let's see. Week. Yes, as a matter of fact. Well, yeah, my beautiful bride had her surgery done, and
that's right.
It was a complete success. Complete success.
Great.
Cool.
How's she? How's she doing today? She's seeing okay, and
she's got X-ray vision now. She can see when I'm breaking stuff or getting my hands into something that I'm not even supposed to be in another room.
Oh, that's too
bad. Which is, and so that's no, really, it was a total success. She's now got full 20/20 vision.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's reading glasses if the print's real small on something. Got a shiner from the surgery because they're hemming and hawing. It was like they're trying to take a transmission out through the trunk. It's turning there working. But so she's got a shiner, but that's going away. That'll heal up in time. Hmm. And small price to pay for repair 100% vision. So yeah, it was great. And I had a couple days off making sure taking care of her, and then back to work. It is put fires out while you're at work, because if you're gone for a couple of days, then it seems like, oh, wow, everything just went blah. If it could go wrong, it did, and your inbox is filled up, and there's massive, massive, massive things to take care of, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we get back.
and might I say, you must be extremely happy, because knowing that she really, truly loved you.
Oh, yeah, because she actually got to see me crystal clear in 1080 high def for the first time in 15 years and didn't run the other direction. Although, while we were sitting in there, she was in recovery. It's the funniest thing. She was in the recovery. They were taking the patch off of her eye the next day. So this is post-surgical procedure, and they're taking off to do a pressure test. And I had her sitting and said, if would you like to come in, Joel, and wait with her, doctor will be right by. And so the nurses were there and this and that, and she looked over at me. She goes, when did you get tattoos? Because she couldn't see them before. I kind of stopped off at a shop on the way in the last 15 years. I just figured you hadn't noticed. She goes, oh, and we had the nurses rolling on the, laughing. Oh, you know, God. She goes, wait a minute. She goes, what happened to your hair? I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a story behind that. I'll let you know. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that must have been fun. That's great.
And then we went for our traditional post-surgical visit or post-eye visit to the Cracker Barrel. Because that's tradition. So we went down there for lunch.
Cool.
And it was you know, that was my week. It was really good. I'm totally psyched for her. It gives you your life back, you know.
Yeah. And I know it was great when she got the one eye, but yeah, you guys came up last week for a barbecue, and I know she was having problems because you got one good eye and one bad eye, and it gave her headaches. Yeah. So I'm really glad.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah. So now the headaches will disappear.
Yeah, the headaches are disappearing, and what's weird is she had said, and the doctor, surgeon had said this, he said, you know, your vision's going to continue to keep getting sharper and sharper for about the next 15 days. Right. After the surgery.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, talk to her in the morning. She still has to sleep sitting upright.
Right.
Because you can't roll over. You don't want to be face down or sleeping on your belly, what have you, because the lens can detach.
Right.
The hairs that are on the eyeball have to grow around the ring, and they hold on to it. And there's her other eye got, they put a an O-ring that the lens connects to in one eye. And in the other eye, it's just the new lens.
Okay.
So, but I wake up, I see her in the morning, and she's like, wow, do I need to clean this place?
Oh, jeez, that's funny.
You know, it's funny. She goes, how long's that stain been there? I'm like, oh, 3-4 years. And she goes, and you just leave it there? I'm like, I tried, you know, but, you know, it's, I can paint over it. I'm like... So she's like, we've got to spring clean this house. I'm like, all right, huh? Not a problem. Happy wife is a happy life.
That is true. Jeez. Well, that's great. I'm glad everything's going well with her. And you know, I did see her on Facebook, and she posted a picture of her black eye. And I said, wow. Yeah, that was, the first eye went so easy compared to the second one. Yeah, but everything will heal in time, and be a lot better off with it.
Yep. So that's, by the time we come up for Thanksgiving dinner and get together, I'll tell you, it would be like it was always good, you know?
Yep.
That kind of thing.
Yep. Oh, it was fun seeing her without her glasses this time because, you know, yeah, when she came up, you guys came up last week, and it was like, wow, you know, it's like it's a whole new Debbie without.
It is. You're so used to seeing her with these Coke bottle glasses, and you know, and you don't. I actually said that to her today. I said, you know, it's weird. I'm getting quickly acclimated, I should say, to seeing you without your glasses. It's nice, you know. It's unique.
Yeah.
Time to reprogram the brain.
It's going to be weird for her, because how long has she been wearing glasses?
Since she was 8 years old.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine, because I've worn glasses since I was 10, and I couldn't imagine, you know, I know I'd be constantly taking my hand up to my face trying to adjust my glasses and stuff.
She does.
Yeah. It's just an automatic thing. Sometimes it's actually like a nervous thing you do, you know. It's one of those things you get used to.
It's a comfort. It's a comfort motion that you're so used to checking your glasses or correcting them on your nose. And it's one of the things she had said is she said, it feels weird because I'm not behind a layer of glass.
Yeah.
And so you're not protected in a manner of speaking. She says, your face is right there in the open, and there's nothing in. I'm like, yeah, you get used to it. Yeah. You get used to it.
Yeah. And I guess one thing I've been told by people that have gotten contacts or gotten LASIK surgery and they've stopped wearing glasses is they say the colors are phenomenal. Excuse me. And they say, you just notice the brightness of the colors and everything because they're not being filtered through the glass and slightly modified. So, you know, that's got to be, it's like looking at a whole new world, almost without glasses.
Yeah, it'll walk. I can't. What the hell's that new fancy TV thing? Not 1080. Everybody's got 1080p.
Oh, what's the ultra. One? The ultra. Yeah, high. Yeah, the ultra definition. Ultra high definition. I forget what that's. 4K.
4K. That's right. It. I'm going to walk. You know, the next time we run into a Sam's Club or a Costco, you know how they put them. They have all of them set up. They have a couple of those 78 and 80 inch. 4K TVs, you know, playing in demo display mode, so all the colors just pop, and I'm like, I can't wait till we walk by one of those, and she sees it for the first time.
Wow.
I mean,
that's incredible. Jeez. Now, Michael, anything your way? Anything exciting this week?
Well, let's see here. Took the Jeep into the Jeep doctor again yesterday, and by the time the episode's out, I'm already going to have been and gone, but we're getting ready to head out to my nephew's wedding next week. Huh. So I figured it was a good week to drop the Jeep off and say, it's still broke. So they're going to work on the navigational and the warp engine drives, but mostly navigational.
Okay.
Although it's sounding more like a diesel these days than a gas engine because the engine's so loud.
Oh, you converted it.
It keeps going, though. I'm sorry?
You converted it.
To a diesel. Yeah, I did the diesel conversion. And it's still running gas. It's amazing. but the driving, the steering issue is the issue. I want to get that all straightened out and get it safe and drivable by my oldest son. So I'm working on that part.
Mm-hmm. I did a little research on that too, sir. I was thinking about it with the late night QRM project Jeep, which is still on hold but has not been forgotten.
Okay, hold it before you continue. Oh, yeah.
And welcome to another edition of Late Night QRM's Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and I was just following up to Michael's Jeep story about how the Jeep having some warp propulsion and navigational repairs that the Late Night QRM project Jeep, which is still underway. In some of my research, Michael, I found that the Jeep Wrangler series, and there's a couple of really informative YouTube videos on this, for the what they call the wobble or the death wobble.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this is, I thought it was just me as I watched these guys film driving their Jeeps down the street. And all of a sudden, you get this incredibly violent, and I do mean violent, wobble at a certain mile per hour. And then hit a button. If you hit a bump, it starts. Hit another bump, and it'll stop. And another bump, it'll start it. And I mean, it's really worth looking at YouTube. So then they show where they did to fix it. And I have noticed a pattern with the Wranglers. And one is obviously a steering dampener, which a lot of them already have. Right. There's a shim off the track. I think it's the track bar.
Track bar, yep.
That they say you have to add a shim that Jeep won't even tell you about this, but a couple guys, they can buy it, put it in place, which stops the space for where you get this wobble in the front end. And I said, wow, that's really interesting. And I went and talked to Ken about it. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, it's the first thing I do. I get a Wrangler, I shim it. So I'm going to send you the link to that because it might shed some light. It might not, but I'm a firm believer in learn from those who know.
Oh, yeah.
And sooner or later, somebody's going to run into the same symptoms, and they're going to trip across that solution. So, when you kept saying you get this horrible wobble in the front end, and it comes and goes, I'm like, that sounds like the death wobble, especially if you run bigger tires. If you put slightly oversized tires on it, it actually multiplies the death wobble. I mean, to the point where shit's shaking off the friggin' dashboard and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's scary.
You feel like you're going to lose control of the car. It's horrible. It's such a short wheelbase vehicle that it just, when it starts happening, it's bad.
Yeah, and it happens over time. They say from the factory suspension and setup on the car, you won't see it. But once it starts breaking that 190 to 230,000 miles, something that spacing on the bar wears out just enough from over up and down bumps. And you won't notice it when you're checking it out on an inspection, but when you're rolling down the street, it's enough to get everything to float, and it multiplies across the linkage. I'll send you the link.
Yeah, no, I want to see it. Now, I changed the traction bar 5 years ago, but that was about halfway through its life.
Right, so, right.
And I pulled out the factory part and put in a Moog part.
Yes.
And,
you know, just because it's better. Good suspension
because,
part.
Yes. But it's been 5 years, so I'm very, very plausible. I've been looking at that, thinking that that's got to be it, but it seems tight when you look at it. So I got to check into the shim issue. So thank you very much. Yeah, we'll go at it here.
Okay. Absolutely.
Well, I have to tell you that you were talking about that. My Prius at 176,000 miles has developed, I guess, that's a death wobble. This would be a bad cold wobble. And it's in the right rear, so I have to... That's one of the things before we take it on the great trip to Copper Harbor. I have to get that looked at. And, yes, I was emailing Joel back and forth this week. Okay, where can I get tires that instead of through the dealer that charges me an arm and a leg for?
Ooh, yeah.
And I just do it because of convenience in the past. But you turned me on to was it Town Home Tires? No, was
Town Fair Tire.
Yeah, Town Fair Tires. And I was looking. I said, "Holy cow! What? What are the prices on this?" And then that the page you sent me, that was my tire size, right?
Yeah, I looked up your car.
Okay, that's what I thought. And, because you know more about my car than I do.
Well, like I said, I get filthy for a living. The twists and wrenches, I get used to it. But yeah, it's literally, I looked up your car and the tire size for it. And then I thought, well, you know, let's look at the economy, the mid-range, and then the high-end tires. And then I thought, okay, cool. And I also thought and did a little diagnostic work with regards to that curb that got hit when that damn bicycle has got in the way of Ingress.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of my... And I thought to myself, all righty then, what are the odds of probability that if you put that rim just on a bubble balancer or on a wheel balancer that the rim got bent? I thought, okay, you're running steel rims with wheel covers on it, so it's fixable because you can pound steel rims back into place, but it doesn't mean it doesn't necessarily need some more wheel weights. That'll all tell itself. When you get the new tire put on, it will show itself. If you end up with, 31 ounces worth of weight on the outside and 28 on the inside, you'll know that rim got a little bit knackered when it hit the curb.
Yeah, I gave it an inspection, and the wheel cover is plastic, and it got slightly cracked in one position. Mm-hmm. Not much at all. And I don't think I hit it hard enough to bend the wheel. Per se.
Well, then it could have just broken all the... By the way, now, I had this happen. If you hit a curb, and I did, I mounted a curb, but it didn't come out right. Well, one time I mounted a curb with a car, and I had to, and it broke the belts inside, the steel belts inside the tire, which causes a wobble.
Okay.
So by replacing that tire with one that doesn't have broken belts inside the rubber itself, the wobble will go away.
Yeah, because this, when I had it down for my oil change, the guy said this one is worn. I mean, you could see the wear bars. The wear bars are there. And
there, so it's reached end of life.
Yeah, it's reached end of life, but it's only that tire. I mean, the other tires are going two, but this one is gone, and he says you need to get it replaced. And again, I noticed, you know how you feel your car when you've been driving it for 9 years, and there's a little bit of a wobble, and I can tell it's the right rear that's causing it. And so I just need to get that checked out. And of course, I can't just buy one tire, so I'm gonna have to buy at least two tires. What I'm thinking about doing, and you started pointing out, we're sitting there, if this is a video podcast, you did. understand. But you're greatly hinting at the Studdable tires, which...
Yeah, for winter.
I've never heard of Studdable tires before. I've heard of stud tires and non-stud tires. But then I'm looking at these things, and they've already got the holes in it, but they're called Studdable. Right. Of course, so I've never heard of these things, and I shoot back to them. I said... What? You can take the studs in and out? You know? I don't know. They got little holes for them. I figured you could tap them in and pull them out, I guess.
it's a separate set. Okay. It's the winter tire set. Like I do for Wilson in my wife's car. It's, my beautiful bride's car has studdable snow tires that I had the studs shot into it.
Okay.
And then...
So you can't just buy
studded tires.
You can't just buy studded.
Yeah, you can't. If you order tires from someplace like TireRack.com, they will send you the tires where somebody shot all the studs in each one of those little pockets through the mail. They'll even sell you a set of rims with it too, and their prices are pretty competitive.
Okay.
But what I did when I got tires for the cars for last winter is I bought studdable snow tires. And then I said, okay, how much to shoot the carbide studs in them? And they're like, I think it was $25. So I'm like, good, shoot carbide studs in and mount them on those rims.
Because when I remember when my dad used to get studded tires, and when he bought them, they were already studded.
Yeah, somebody actually shot studs in each and every one of those at your local garage as a rule of thumb.
Oh, really? Yep. I just thought they made them.
They actually have a stud gun. No, they have a stud gun. They make them like a vulcanized radial tire.
I have a stud. It's my gun. You know.
Oh, my God. Well, just so you know, stud, you can shoot the studs in too deep and they'll puncture the tire while you're driving them down the road. That's why you don't do them yourself.
It's my wife's nickname for me, you know.
Stud gun? I find that more than mildly disturbing. But yeah, I'm good with that. I'm cool. You know, I'm jiggy with it. Alrighty. You know what?
So anyway, so I'm thinking for the I'm gonna buy at least two. I don't know. You know, I could. Yeah. Could I buy the studdable tires and not put the studs in yet?
No, I wouldn't recommend it because it's a much, much softer compound rubber, which is designed to grip ice and snow primarily. And then I would just get two.
I'm going to get two radial
tires.
Yeah.
Right. Put those
the front.
New conventional on the front. Rotate the ones from the front to the back.
Right. That's what I was planning on doing. And then we'll see. And that'll be good for the trip because the remaining ones are still good, and I'm trying to split the cost up. I was looking at these, and I said, "Really? That's how much? Really? They're not $200 bucks a pop?
No, they're not. They're $78 bucks a pop.
Yeah. So, and that was the high quality ones.
Yeah, and I'm one of these folks. It took me a while to learn my lesson. But with tires, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Buy a premium grade tire, and you're going to get a fantastic ride. Buy a cheapy tire. I mean, of course, your budget dictates everything, but, you know, a cheapy, if you say, I'm just going to cheap out and get the crappy tires, don't expect to get a good quality ride out of them like you would the premium tire.
And they only last a year on my car because
you do a lot of
miles a day.
And when you start out in the cold, it'll go wooba, 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 wooba until it warms up.
If it warms up.
In
Copper Harbor, warm is -20.
And in my car, they go woomba, woomba.
Actually, you know what? You won't get the voop with studded snows.
I know.
Have the traction.
That's true.
You will not experience the You'll actually just get traction and it'll go.
And I got to try to find. First of all, I got to open the back of my car and because I've got one of those little wheels, spare tires.
Yeah. The donut.
Yeah. But I don't know whether I can fit a full size in the storage area. I don't know whether
you can.
Huh?
Probably can't. You probably can't. More than likely, I'd be surprised if the spare tire well will accommodate it.
It might. I don't know. I'll have to take a look at it. And because
we'll just drive on the donut, you know, or you would just keep take the donut tire with us.
Yeah. Well, I have AAA service. But yeah,
we're same here. I got AAA Plus. So.
Yeah, which reminds me, I got to find the AAA cards because I got the discount at the hotel with AAA, and I have an old card.
You can use mine.
Yeah, that's true. But I got to find mine because I paid. I just can't find the freaking new card. They sent it to
me. Oh, that reminds me, too. I'm digressing from Bottom Gear, but yeah, I heard back from the passport office.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, tell them, I don't think you've talked about your tribulations with the passport office. Well, and, you know, how we love big government.
Oh, it's tons of fun. I received an email and then a letter in the mail saying, hello, and thank you for your application for your United States passport. And I said, well, thank you, and you're welcome. And after shelling out the $243 grand total for the passport book, for the card, passport card, which is good for entrance into Canada and Mexico, as well as the $60 expedite fee. So it would get here Johnny Lickety on the quickie spot. They sent me back this letter saying, please provide us with a birth certificate with your parents' full names on them, so we can then process your passport application. Besides that, everything's good to go. And I read this, and I looked at my beautiful bride and said, I gave them the only copy of my birth certificate, which is a copy because my original one got burned up in a fire. So this is the one that I got from the town that I was born in. And what are you talking about? So I did actually call. Got a very nice lady by the name of, I forget, it was an Amy? I explained it to her. She said, somebody will be calling you back that's an agent. I said, I appreciate that. And sure enough, they called me back the next day.
That's fast.
And the lady was super nice. And she said, hey, did you happen to know that there are different kinds of copies of your birth certificate? And I said, no. She said, yeah.
Certified copy.
Well, mine had the seal on it, the raised seal. But she said, the erased seals on all are of the certified, but of the certifieds, you have, which I, you know, that's the one I had presented when my wife and I got married, also known as my beautiful bride. But also, the thing is, you have a different version, which is for passport use to prove your nationality and citizenship. And I said, that's different than the one I used to get married? She said, yep. That one has a certain section filled out by the Department of Records of who your parents' full names on it. You can't fill it in yourself. And I went, oh, all right. So she said, that's what we need a copy of. So I did it online into the Department of Records of the town that I was born in and said, okay, here you go. And it was only $35 and blah, 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 blah. So we shall see. I'm going to call them on Monday anyway, see if I can get a human being to expedite it a little bit quicker.
Okay, that's smart. Well, worst case scenario.
You got a week. Yeah.
Worst case scenario. Worst case scenario, we go around the lake instead of up over the lake. It's an extra couple of hours, but you know, we skip.
We're still getting there.
Yeah, we'll still get there. We can solve that problem. So that's not an issue. And I can cancel the hotel in London, Ontario, up to 24 hours before we get there.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just hoping it comes through in time, because I'm really, really, really looking forward to it and are anxious to get up to Canada and go to London, Ontario. I still want to try a cup of Tim Hortons.
Yep.
I looked at the fries with the gravy, and I'm like, I love fries. I love gravy. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure about the cottage cheese chunks on it, but I'll give it a shot.
I'll give it a try. I'll try anything once. Besides, you pour gravy on it, it's probably going to be good.
Exactly. I mean, if you've got really, really good gravy, it can drown out the cottage cheese in mine. And I don't like cottage cheese, but I'll try
good gravy will drown out anything.
Exactly.
And Joel, I just wanted to ask you one question. I forgot to in the beginning of the show, but your beautiful bride plays Ingress, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, she does. Oh, yes, she does. She hasn't as of late because it's been tough to see the screen, but she does.
I'll have to have a conversation. Maybe we can have her on the show sometime, and we can talk about, you know, being a new Ingress player. and what she's gone through. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. She's also, you know, she's more of an active player than I.
Yes, man, I could see that. Yeah. So, anyway, okay, so back to Bottom Gear. So, yeah, I'm prepping. So I'm prepping the Prius. You know, it's got 176,000 in going. By the time we get home, it'll probably be, well, hell, it'll probably be up to 177,000 before we even go. And then so
we'll come, be 180 something when we get back, probably.
Yeah, we'll be
179.
Yeah, but still, we're going to be hitting that 200,000 mark pretty soon, within the next probably next year sometime.
It's like, what is it, 1,140 miles up, 1,140 miles back.
I do want to double check, get the serpentine belt checked. I'll probably go to Kenny's for that, and if it needs to be replaced, I want to get that replaced.
You know what, for the $12, he's got to take off the bottom belly pan of the engine.
I'll just have him do it anyway.
Just have him put it here. For $12, have him throw a new one on, then you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, because it feels safer with a new belt on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, I don't want to get into God's country, you know, that section we got to drive through to get up to the suburbs of Copper Harbor.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden the belt goes out.
And yeah, exactly.
We're sitting there and AAA goes, "Where are you?"
First you try to make one phone call and you find out, okay, I have half of one bar of service, cellular. That's if the wind's blowing just right. And you try and call Michael and say, "Michael, Houston, there's a problem. Problem."
Oh, and Michael, yes, I'm going to have to, after the show, I will get your, you still have your repeater up and running there, right?
Oh, shoot, yeah, put your ham radio in the car.
Oh, it's already in there.
Oh, I'll give you frequencies. Right now, no, my repeater is not on the air because that tower is down.
It is?
But you just remember you sent us picture? That's what we're working on when we get there?
No, that tower's up. We're putting up an HF antenna for him, or helping him put up an HF.
Oh, yeah, the one here at the house, yes. Yeah. But anyhow, yes, there's a couple of repeaters that I'll give you frequencies for, but mine is currently off the air.
Okay, well, you need to...
It's going back on the air, but it's currently off
the air. Okay, you got a week and a half to get it on the air.
not like the guy's busier or anything.
that's your mission, Michael. Get it back on the air, and don't forget the P code too, or whichever ones you're giving us have them, because we'll tell you when we're getting close via 2 meters or 440. Because that's in the car. That's already in the car.
Yeah, we do both up here. We've got 440 and VHF.
You got both? 2 meters and 440? Wow.
Yep, just like country and western.
We got multi.
Country and western.
Yeah, the VHF repeater up here, you can get a long ways away.
Yeah,
that's
right. You're
coming around. It's a big day.
That's what I kind of figured, especially if we're by water.
Yeah, several hours out, you're going to be able to talk to me.
Oh, cool. All right, that would be neat.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. And since I'm in the car, Joel can even talk on it, because, you know, the operator is there.
Yes.
Yes.
Sitting right to my left or to my right, depending upon who's driving.
Right, depending, yeah. Well, you know, if we're driving at night, you're going to probably do more driving at night than I am.
That's fine.
I'm getting old. My eyes aren't as good at night as they used to be.
No, no problem. Then again, the sun doesn't go down until 11:30 at night at Michael's anyway.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Well, it's more like 10 o'clock now, but yeah, it is getting to be fall.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be fun.
I am so jazzed. I went and double secret decoder ring checked with my boss. I'm like, all right, there's absolutely no issue with me and my vacation time because I'm headed out. I'm hitting the dusty trail. And he's like, no, you're good. You're all set. I'm like, corporate's not going to come back and have some paperwork glitch or some weird-ass anomaly because the planets align the right way and it screws you from your vacation only on a 3-day window on the front of the... He goes, no, you're all set. I'm like, good, because it's a done deal.
Way cool.
I've got mine all checked out. I mean, you know, I've already been through security and everything, but my boss and I have this We always go through the same thing. Oops, wait a minute. Splash top. I'm going to take splash top off. It's stupid. It said the login failed. Well, I didn't try to log in. So anyway, I will have to, my boss and I, we always have this routine. I've already told him that I'm going. He knows, and he's actually taking vacation this week and next week, beginning of next week. So I told him, I said, well, you know, I'll tell him when he gets back. I said, well, you know, I'm leaving, you know, on the 17th. And he'll always do, he'll do the same thing. What? You're taking vacation? He always says that to me. And then when I get back from vacation, when I get back, he goes, yep. Where the hell were you? I said, I was on vacation. He goes, did you tell me about it?
I love one. What? You know, you didn't call in, right?
No. Yeah, I'm aware I didn't call in because, look at the paper. It's on the computer system.
Yeah. It's always fun.
I'm so jazzed. And, you know,
it's going
to
be.
I said to my wife, you know, in some cases, I said, you know how much fun it is? I said, boy, it'd be great if you could go too. She goes, I love you guys to death. She says, but talking and podcasting would be sort of like for me watching paint dry. I don't know anything about it at this point, and you boys just have a blast. I'm like, okay, point taken.
My wife's kind of feeling the same way. She goes, oh, I'd like to see Copper Harbor. I said, yeah, I know, but, you know, we're going to be talking podcasting and stuff. Oh. Well, we could do other things, right? I said, we're only there for 3 days. Yeah.
No, actually, we're there for longer than that. But
no, well, we're driving.
I mean, it's, you know.
We're there. We'll be there Thursday night.
We're driving
night.
For 2 days.
We'll be Thursday night. We'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then we take off Monday.
All day.
Yeah, and then Monday, Tuesday. Okay. We'll be home Tuesday night late, right?
So
we're there for 3 days, really. So 2 days of traveling. True. Yeah, we're actually traveling longer more than we're staying.
You know what? You got to break the ice somehow, though. I mean, at least we're getting here.
We've
been 4 years.
It'll be an adventure. It'll be an adventure. We'll have fun. So, yeah.
All right, I want to play John Candy then if we're doing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
the only thing I remember out of that is...
One of my all-time...
Where are your hands between two pillows? Those aren't pillows!
I think I own every John Candy, every movie he's been in, including the Duds.
Yeah.
And by the way, part of that movie was shot in my hometown of Woodstock, Illinois.
Yes, it was. Really?
No, not kidding. Not really. They show a picture of the county courthouse, which is right down on the square. Fox, Tawny Phil, and all that crew, too. That was filmed there before Groundhog Day, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, so, a couple years before.
Was that a John Hughes movie?
No, actually, there are three different directors. There are three different films that have been filmed in Woodstock and, you know, in recent history, and they've all been different directors. But I think the crews had some, you know, interoperable people there.
Okay.
But part of the Blues Brothers movie actually was shot outside of Woodstock. Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Groundhog Day, I'm missing one. This seems to be a convenient area outside of Chicago to shoot movies.
Your typical Midwest town.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And by the way, just a second item there on bottom gear there.
No, I was going to get back to that right now, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. But back to my regular favorite mechanic, Chris brought the truck in to get it all set for the trip to go down to the wedding. And lube oil filter on the Cummins diesel is not a cheap job, no matter what. I mean, if you do it right, it's not cheap because of the filter and everything. But she had lube oil filter, turn signal bulb in the headlight was burned out. So you got to pull the assembly out into that. Mm-hmm. Broken wire on that. The parking brake wasn't working at all, so they had to go and work on that. There were some other things they did, but anyhow, half day of work on it. Lube oil, filter parts, everything came up to $129.
Holy cow, that's beyond bargain.
You know, the last thing you put in the note there, turn signal bulb, that's what my dealer would charge for just changing that.
Exactly. That's kind of why I brought it up.
That's incredible. Wow. Wow, that's incredible.
Just, and I generally have to remind them to bill me.
Yeah, that doesn't happen at the dealership, man. I can't take the car home until I pay.
Yeah, I think they charge you $10 just to pull the car up into the parking lot.
Yes, I know. I know. Oh, well. I've learned my lesson.
A receipt from a reputable mechanic is just as good as a receipt from the Toyota dealership when it comes time to trade the car in.
Yep. Besides, it's old now anyway, so. And the reason I started taking it to them, because when I had my first Prius, I had a year of free maintenance on my car.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, sure, I'll do that. And then I just continued to go because that was the only place I really knew to go to.
To go to, right.
With the Prius. And I was concerned that the Prius is a special car and it should go to the dealership for special handling.
And, yes. And that's how they sell you on it.
Yeah, I know. I'm such an idiot.
No, you're not. You're like anything else. You just bank on the fact that people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't fix cars for a living and then research cars and read car magazines and read mechanics magazines, then how the hell would you know? Because it's not what you're into, you know?
I really got quite upset, though, when they did the software upgrade on it and they charged me for that. And I said,
I'm baffled by it. You've got defective software in my car that has and needs improvement, and you're going to charge me to fix what you have that doesn't, what's broken?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That floored me. I said, I'm a software engineer. We don't charge for updates. Well, no, wait a minute. I take that back. I'm a defense contractor. We do charge for updates.
It's a little bit different between a Prius and, say, oh, I don't know, a guidance system.
Yeah.
The car won't run on regular.
You're driving a drive-by-wire car, sir. There seems to be a little problem with the brake software. would you like us to be fixing that for you? It only costs so much.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you say, well, if I say no, Mr. Service Manager, are you telling me my brakes could fail? Well, I'm not going to say they could fail, but there have been reported cases of them not as vigorously engaging.
it would be a shame if your car didn't stop for the intersection. Just saying.
Anyway, that's when you say, who do I make the check out to?
Yeah, really? Yeah. It's going to be fun if we're going to be listening to music a la cell phones, because the interface I have on my 2005 Prius, which was before they had auxiliary plugins and stuff like that.
I know where you go with this.
The radio one, and around here,
the FM transmitter one, yeah.
Yes, around here it works fine because I found the perfect frequency that's in between everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not fun when you're trying to, you know, I'm trying like hell to figure out how to.
Did you listen to the latest episode from Doug?
No.
He talked all about that, how Slug is Doug. I laughed because he has a Mini, and he was talking about how he had several of those FM transmitters. And how they absolutely, positively work like crap going through certain areas of Canada because every single FM frequency is filled.
Yes, I did hear that one. Yes, that's actually, you know what? Stupid me. That's what got me thinking about it, is listening to Doug's podcast and saying, you know, I really need to do something about this, but I, you know, I haven't found a solution that's not going to cost me, you know, $120. They do make kits.
Yep.
That you can put in the back. There's an actual plug in the back of my radio.
Yeah.
That you can add something like that, but it's
auxiliary inputs.
Yes, it's not your standard plug. It's for if you have the extra CD changer, which I don't have. You know, I have a CD player, but I don't have the CD changer.
Changer, right. And, but it converts it over to where you could probably have a port, which converts it to a 3.5 millimeter jack.
Well, yeah, except for it needs to go through a little box because of the way the wiring is. And I've been looking online for the cheapest one, and, you know, they're like all... I might be able to get one for $89.
Have you looked at... Clutchfield?
Crutchfield.
I haven't checked Clutchfield.
Crutchfield, not Clutchfield.
Crutchfield, yes. I know what you're talking about now, yes. No, but I'm sure you're going to be looking it up as we continue to podcast.
As a matter of fact, I am.
And you'll tell me exactly how much it's going to cost, and in which case I may have you up if you're available next weekend, if we can... purchase one, and I will. I know that I've already seen several YouTube videos about how to pop open to get to the back of the radio, which is basically you got to take half the dashboard out, but it's okay because it's all snap and clip.
Plastic.
Yeah,
it's snap and clip plastic.
Yeah, and there's like two bolts that are two screws that you have to unscrew, and that they're the ones actually holding the radio in place, and that's it. You know, so it doesn't, that part doesn't look too bad.
Right, and you don't have to pull the whole radio out. You just have to be able to get it down and out enough that you can plug it in.
Right.
In the back.
Yeah, you just plug it in the back, and then you can run it forward. Because I would love to do that because, yeah, it's a nightmare. When I go down to Pennsylvania, and especially when I'm going past New York City, there is not a frequency that's not being used. And I just, you know, it's like, okay, I can't listen to what I want to listen to because...
Right.
Plus, if you get somebody that also has one of those FM converter things in their car, generally theirs comes in much better than the one in your car because the antenna is outside. So, so yeah, I'll pull up to a car and all of a sudden I'm hearing dum, 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 and they're always playing the same kind of frickin' music, you know, stuff I can't stand. And meanwhile, I'm missing half a pie. I just put the podcast on pause. Wait until I can get some distance between me and him. You know, I always wish that, you know, while I'm hearing dootin', 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 they're hearing the podcast that shall not be named coming through there.
Wait. Damn, I gotta go to the bathroom.
But yes, I would love to get rid of my FM converter. Like I said,
right.
Here I don't have any problems with it because I've got the perfect frequency going back and forth to work. I don't have any issues, but yeah, we'll definitely have some issues driving up to Michael's place.
I am looking it up now, sir.
Yeah, and I'm willing to pay some money for it. If it, you know, my next car will have all cars come with auxiliary jacks now.
Bluetooth. Yeah, they have auxiliary jacks and Bluetooth.
And I don't really need the Bluetooth. It'd be nice. I just need an auxiliary jack.
Right.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay.
Oh, and that reminds me, your beautiful bride sent me a, well, actually, she posted it on Facebook, a warning. She was saying, Ingress players, watch out, because there's a new law going into effect here in New Hampshire next July in 2015 that basically says you can't touch anything handheld in your car, electronic, that you're able to text or talk on. Except for a one-handed microphone. So they gave that option so that ham radio guys could still use their radios. But everything else, hands off. GPS, hands off. You get caught touching a GPS, you get caught touching a cell phone in your car, I think the first fine was like $100, $150, and the next one was $250, and it goes up like three levels, and then you can lose your license. And I'm like, I said, this is freaking ridiculous, because, and one of the pictures they showed in this thing was somebody reaching over to a built-in screen in the car, and tapping buttons on that, and I said, hell, everything's controlled out of the touchscreen on my Prius. What am I supposed to do?
Well, that's one-handed, though. So, I mean, realistically, that would kind of fall under the same category as changing the radio station.
Well, again, I'm going to have to read the actual law, because they showed that as one of the things you're not allowed to do.
Change the radio station?
I need to look at the law.
There's going to be certain things that, even with the law, there'll be things that are grandfathered in, because not all cars have radio controls on the steering wheel. In other words, so you couldn't turn the radio on or off, or answer the phone on or, you know, with buttons on the steering wheel, because it just plain old doesn't have those buttons. So those are going to have to be grandfathered in.
Not necessarily, because we're now living in a nanny state.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Oh, we don't think you should be doing that. So it's not healthy for you. And you know, driving is a privilege. It's not a right.
So tint the windows in your car. Catch me if you can.
There we go. Yeah. But I'm hoping it's actually holding it in your hand, because I do have the cell phone holder in the cup right there. And I'm like, are you trying to tell me you can't use a GPS? You can't look at a GPS in your car? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because
you couldn't look at it. You just can't punch in the address. Well, realistically, you can't say I can't look at it. They said you can't operate.
Well, I don't understand that, because, you know, granted, if I get a text, I hear it come in, I pull off the road if I want to look at it. Otherwise, it waits until I can have a chance to look at it. A text comes in, you can look at it. What's the difference between doing that and...
Text, you had to swipe the screen. That was your first thing. So you had to touch the screen and swipe it to look at the text, the whole text.
No, mine shows the whole text on the display.
Then you can look at it. You just can't touch that screen to reply.
But I'm taking my eyes from the road to read that text. So I don't know. We're gonna have to read the law, because I'm just. Yes, I understand. Well, there's a lot of people.
That
is stupid enough to try to text and drive at the same time. I am not one of those people. I pull off the side of the road.
Right.
You know, and luckily I got hands free for the phone. If I want to talk, it's in a holder. It's hands free, and I can hit, you know, I can hit one button, the Siri button, and say, call whoever I want to call, and it makes the phone call for me.
Absolutely. So, but it's for the. I can't tell you how many dipshits I see driving down the street trying to text and drive, and you can see it when you're behind them. Mm-hmm. Not first, you see their head drop down.
Mm-hmm.
Or the ones who are trying to be slick about it, and they put the phone way in the end of their in the hand, way at the end of their knee, so their head's not dipping down. But watch how they steer, and you can tell by the way the car's steering down the street that they're not.
Yeah, paying
attention. When you look at a GPS, you glance at it.
Well,
and also a GPS calls out what street and turns audibly, so you really don't have to look at the screen. It says, in 3.1 miles, turn left onto Doctor Who Street.
Yeah.
You don't have to read that off the screen.
Right. Well,
and
what gets me is this law does say all electronic devices, and only calling out electronic devices. So I got to ask them. I've actually watched people sitting there reading a newspaper and driving down the road, or
completely legal,
or reading a book. I've seen them reading paperbacks, you know, holding it in the middle of their steering wheel and reading and driving at the same time. I don't know how many women I've seen with their, you know, driving down the road, putting eye makeup on with the rear view mirror, but yet the law doesn't address those things.
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, there's this thing called distracted driving that's in, you know, on the book in just about every state. But then you get into what's the definition of distracted driving.
And why doesn't that rule or that law cover cell phone or you know,
it should text. Cover everything.
Yeah, why do we need a special one just for electronic devices?
Because the vast majority of the time it's people, what I like to refer to as the douchebags, trying to send a text, laugh out loud, ha ha ha, smiley face, crash. It's the texting, and they think they can do it. They think they have total control over the entire system and the environment and the world and what the other 500 people on that street are going to do, and they can't. And because they were sitting there trying to laugh out loud and ha 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 and have an argument with their wife or their husband or whatever or boyfriend on the via text, what they can't anticipate is the tire rod end snapping on the car in front of them that just jutted out into the front of you know while their eyes were looking down at the little screen and trying to find where's the H, where's the P, where's the R, where's the you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
no, I understand that. I just don't think they need a. I mean, that one law should cover everything. It's yet an extra useless law on the books.
Yeah. We're still not as bad as other states.
I think we are getting there. We're getting there quick.
Well, then it's becoming the norm, in which case, why bitch? I mean, you know, when I was driving through New York, everything had to be hands-free. And I was cool with that because the car had Bluetooth. I could still take a phone call. I could still, you know, listen to the radio. I could still listen to my podcasts. There was no issue. So if you have to adapt your vehicle to accommodate your modern electronics so you can be hands-free, I'm cool with that. I don't really have a problem with it. I've seen so many people crash on my front street alone because they were playing with their cell phone. Every year, three again, people crash.
Distracted driving is a bad thing. I don't think
these are people playing with their cell phone.
I don't think. Yeah, I know, but the distracted driving law already covers that. Why do we need a special law just to cover electronic devices? Distracted driving is for everything in your car.
All right, I want to play devil's advocate on this one. Just hear me out. Distracted driving, how hard do you want to enforce that? So the first time I see your right hand leave the wheel and pick up your coffee cup to take a sip, even sitting still at a red light, that's distracted driving, and you get a $150 ticket. Or, and you can make it a blanket law like that. It's like, wait a minute, you're taking a drink of coffee. That's why they invented drive-thrus. Or you take a chicken nugget and you eat it. Versus when you're on your phone, any way you cut and slice it, when you're on your phone, you're double distracted. And you're double distracted by two things. One, you're either searching for a letter to send a text, searching for a button so you can fire up the correct app, unless you have Siri, which you can hit one button and tell it what to do, but it's for those who don't choose to use that. And or three, you're searching on a small screen to find out where the hell that little button is on what screen that I'm looking to try and activate, versus changing the station on your radio. You glance, you change, and you're listening. The fourth thing on a telephone is you have to answer back. You don't talk to your radio. So you don't have to think about what it's saying and then think about a reply and then answer back, whether it be text or speech.
I do.
Some states are arguing, oh, shut up. And some states are even trying to argue they don't want you to be able to talk on the phone, which I don't agree with. But if you're so busy thinking about what the conversation is, especially via text, and what your reply is going to be, and plug it in before you can hit send.
People claim that talking on the phone is different than talking to somebody in the car, but I if I'm distracted at all with talking to somebody on the phone, well, I've got hands-free phone in my car. To me, it's no different than talking to somebody sitting right next to me. Yeah, right. Because I'm not looking at that person anyway. I can't see his reaction anyway because I'm busy with my eyes on the road. So there's no difference. All I'm doing is hearing that person's voice, just like I do on the hands-free phone. So I don't think it requires any.
Right. I think this is probably why they put that electronic device, because it's mainly to cover the texting and the pictures and all the social media bullshit. If you're eating a quarter pounder with cheese on a long road trip, which we're probably going to be doing in about a week,
And and you're like, dude, I'm hungry. I need to eat pretzels and drink, you know, drink an iced tea. And if they had a one blanket law is good for all, then the dude eating a pretzel is going to get the same $150 fine as someone who's sitting there trying to friggin' type in the Gettysburg Address. You know, it's a different set of circumstances, and one leads to a lack of hunger and needing a napkin maybe. The other definitely requires a lot more time eyes off the road and farting around with your phone. Not to mention, so I do see the. I don't think it's a bad move. I really, really don't.
My whole thing about it is. I think there's freaking too many laws on the books now, and when was the last time you heard of them taking laws off the books? Once in a blue moon, they'll come in and like, oh, look, we still got a law about, you know, riding a horse through downtown in...
You may not...
a buggy and... or
you may not tie up your two-horse mule team in front of the post office when one of them has diarrhea.
Yeah. You know, rules like that. And a lot of those are still on the books. And I've just got this aversion for just adding more and more and more laws. Because then you get into a situation, well, I don't know, like this country's in right now, where we have a president that decides which laws he's going to follow and which are enforced and which laws he's not going to enforce. And it's like, well, if they're on the books, they need to be enforced. And if you disagree with a law, then get it changed. There's a way to get it changed.
Look the other way.
Yeah, you just look the other way. Oh, well, that law is not important to us. We're not going to enforce that law. Then why have laws at all?
Well, I'll be honest with you, and I'm being a sarcastic ass when I say this, but are you aware of the fact that this guy's had his job for a while? We should be used to this.
Oh, I know. I understand, but I don't get it. I mean, now he's got a record of picking and choosing which laws he's going to enforce and which laws he's not. And last time I checked, you're supposed to, the executive... is supposed to enforce all the laws passed by Congress. Congress makes the laws and doesn't enforce them. The executive branch executes and enforces the laws. And the Supreme Court is there to basically say whether the law that the Congress passed is constitutional or not. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's supposed to work. But apparently, we'll just ignore certain laws. Oh, we're going to look the other way on these laws. And oh, by the way, we don't have a law for that. We think there should be. We're not going to work with Congress because we can't. They disagree with us all the time. So I'll just write an executive order and make that happen.
Right. But I don't think he wrote an executive order about texting on your cell phone.
No. I'm just saying it's yet the reason we get that way is because we got, do you know all the laws in the state? And New Hampshire is the live free or die state, so they probably got the least amount of laws out of all the states in the country, including federal. Well, everybody has the federal laws, but you could walk down a street and probably get arrested or fined for some law you don't even know about. Because there's too many goddamn laws on the books.
Yeah, the cops don't even know what the half the laws are.
Exactly. But again, then cops, oh, well, I concentrate. I know these laws, and another cop may know another set of laws. And it's time to clean up the laws. That's what I'm trying to say. I think there should be a mandatory review on all the laws every so often and decide which ones are still valid and which ones should be thrown out and through the due process of throwing them out because, you know, there's just too many goddamn laws.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Live free or die.
But in fact, the government would have to do anything along those lines, you know, for a fact would cost an extra $14 trillion. And then they'd have to argue about where the money's going to come from to hire some, you know, everyone's nephew and niece to give them a job shuffling papers.
And then they'd have to write a law about that.
They'll have to write a law about that. Then they'll turn around and they'll have to build a special building for the review of those laws and have to custom decorate it with taxpayer money for the, you know, the ooh-la-la foofy
furniture. And then each one of those reviewers will have to have staff, at least, then, you know, 2,000 right. people, a person staff. And
then you have, each person has to make a minimum because you have to have, you know, because equal opportunity, EEO, whatever. So you have to have so many people, even if they're not qualified. What do you mean you can't read English? We're reviewing laws written in English. Well, that's okay, but you have to have someone who can't read English just so you can say you have them on your staff. And he's got to make at least $68,000 a year.
Right.
What's he do? Drinks coffee all day. But that's okay. So, you see where it spirals right out of control.
I think we've pretty much left my company's name out of things, but we have this thing at work called Diversity and Inclusion, or Diversity Plus Inclusion. And I find it, the intention is well-meaning, but if you really look at what they're doing, they're basically saying, diversity, you're different than me. You're really different. Here's how you're different than me. And the plus inclusion is, but I like you anyway. So I'm going to point out how different you are, but that's okay. Come on in. And I'm like,
dumb down the average meaning.
It's like, well, why point out the differences? Why don't you just point out the things you have in common?
Yeah.
You know, let's not worry about pointing out the differences. Let's point out the things we have in common. Guess what? You're an engineer and I'm an engineer.
Yes, exactly. So we have engineer brains. And quite frankly, you know, where you were born, was there running water and dirt floors? Well, yes, there was. Well, then you're different, so you have a job. But I did not go to engineering school.
That's another thing. Yes.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay because you're different.
But
and the dude's not qualified.
I just, you know, to me, this program just points out differences instead of trying to unite people.
You will be assimilated.
That's my personal opinion.
Resistance is futile.
Yeah. I don't get it. And I'm sure some of our listeners, if not all of our listeners, will have their opinions on that. Again, I come from being not
the land down under.
I am in a minority in one respect. I am a minority in one respect because in you and I, and to an extent, Michael is also in that minority of being tall and of course we've had plenty of podcasts about that, and everybody just laughs and because we've got to live in a short.
I also suffer from girth.
I kind of do too. Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, we kind of understand that part of it because, okay, there's not a lot of hatred toward tall people, but there is a lot of laughing and ignoring our needs. As being seen now in airplanes, airlines that are they're shortening the leg room so much that even normal sized people are getting upset, and there's fights breaking out now in flights, and they've had to turn flights around and land them in places where they weren't really going because they're arguing over leg room. Now when normal people are arguing over leg room, there's a problem. You know,
we're taking the train.
There's a problem, and the airlines still don't get it.
It's a cattle car.
It's worse than a cattle car. It's worse. It's like taking a freaking train to Auschwitz these days.
Yeah, not good.
You know, pile them all in.
I'm really dreading my next business trip coming up now.
Unless I got first class or business class, I hate flying. And you know, I don't even care actually, for it.
You're starting to make me wonder if I should just drive down.
You know me. If you got the time, that's what I'd do. Or take the train. If the company will pay for it, because the train does have more room. It'll take you longer to get there, but you'll be comfortable. Yep. And you get Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Okay, enough ranting and raving about that. I don't even know. I mean, that wasn't even a topic. I just got off on it.
Does it matter?
No. As you say, doesn't it feel good?
Yeah.
It does. And I didn't want to get into the tall thing. We've had lots of episodes where that's all we talked about. But I just want to remind people now and then. Huh?
Okay, excuse me for 1 second, guys. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay.
And I just you know, want to remind people. It's a different kind of, maybe it's not, you know, but yes, we're laughed at a lot, and you don't really have any problems. Okay, we do, and we're ignored. So, okay, post Labor Day Harbor, Copper Harbor. Did we go over that already? Did you?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So one of the things that's very evident after the Fat Tire Festival last weekend, mm-hmm. and every year. It's September 1st. It's quiet.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
It is a good thing. And in many ways, it's quiet. I mean, we still have vacationers up here, but it's a different group. It's generally the families that have kids that are before school or, you know, or retired people. Mm-hmm. So, it gets much more easygoing after Labor Day. And just, I sent you guys a picture, text earlier, but just my leftover bandwidth right now here in the office on my iPhone, I'm looking at it right now. It's 10.1 meg down, 6.2 meg up.
Hmm. Wow. That's way better than I've got.
Nobody on the system right now.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah, you haven't been Cyloning hardly at all, and you've had your video on the entire time. So,
yeah, bandwidth. Woohoo! I get better bandwidth than most of the country right now.
Wow.
I mean, unless you're right in the city and you get fiber.
Yeah.
But it's as we said, we were all counting it down Sunday night. The 100 days of August are over. Because it seems like 100 days to all my service industry friends.
Yeah. 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 But that's also the time to relax and get ready. I was going to say, it's probably quieter up there because the snow kind of always makes it quieter, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, when they arrive.
I mean, oh, it's not there yet? You don't have a couple feet of snow on the ground yet?
No,
it is
maybe
September.
By the time you're here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm worried about. Maybe I should look into those studded tires.
No, it generally snows towards the end of the month, not in the middle of the month. But we'll see.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Sorry. I just leaned against my keys. You probably can't hear this on the...
Oh, yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah, you can hear it. Oh, yeah, you can. Cheers.
I have a tendency to lean... My keys are in my pocket. My fob for my Prius is in my pocket. And sometimes I lean against the arm rest on this chair, and it pushes the emergency button on it, and the car, which is right below me, starts honking.
In the garage.
Well, it's not in the garage. You know that.
I know.
It doesn't go in the garage until October. That's when we have to get the garage car ready. Is that Kamikazes?
Nope. This is my homemade version of an apple teeny.
Oh, yes. Okay. I saw what you had bought at the store. You sent a picture.
Yep, it's melon liqueur, Smirnoff apple vodka, sour apple schnapps, Sprite, and... that's what I got. Vitamin water.
By the way, I forgot to tell you, last week I did partake in the bottle of Kamikazes you left me.
Oh, yeah.
And I probably had about a half a sippy cup worth.
Yeah. Did you mix it with Sprite?
No.
Oh, you drank it straight?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was good. I kind of like it. I don't have that kind of. It would be horrible if you mixed it with Coke. But it was
I cut it with lemon lime soda, and
it was good straight.
Yeah, I bet you was. But after about the fifth mouthful, you really thought it was awesome.
That I could remember. So, hey, Michael, what's going on with the ProJive?
Okay, well, actually, before I get to that, I was informed by this afternoon from a friend of mine that the rest of my coax and all the parts are in for the job.
All right.
Except for, I got to find, as I said, I'm going to the big city this coming week to go to my nephew's wedding. Mm-hmm. And I need 4 5/16 by, 18 thread by 5-inch stainless steel bolts. And that's, I can get stainless steel up here, but when you get into 5-inch 5/16 bolts, none of the stores have got them. So hopefully in the bigger city you'll get them. But that's the tri-bander beam, instead of having a U-bolt, has got mounting blocks that clamp around the mast to keep it stable. And that's just need those bolts, so that's the last thing I got left. And I got to make up some connectors for the rotor cable. I don't like to just screw it on. I like to have a pigtail coming off the rotor and a connector on that, and so I can just go pa-chunk and put it all back together again.
Nice. All right. So we're ready.
It'd be all set for you guys. Okay. As you saw from the pre-assembly picture, I assembled the tri-band beam in the backyard, make sure it was there and all measured out and all set to go. And then I disassembled it again, because it's easier to disassemble it and carry it through the garage than to carry it assembled through the woods.
I was looking at the picture of it. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. That's incredible.
In front of the garage, I've got a clear shot where I can assemble it, put it on sawhorses, and when it's ready to raise up to the top of the tower, there's nothing in the way except for guy wires. It's always a problem getting around the guy wires. Mm-hmm. But that big, you set it on the guy wires and you just kind of pull it up as the ramp.
Okay. Oh, I meant to ask you too. How often does FedEx deliver to the Mariner North?
Daily.
Do they? Actually, really?
Yeah, they're up here daily.
Ah. Okay, I gotta get their address.
Michael.
iPhone 6 is going to be announced on the 9th. I'll be up at 3 o'clock Thursday to order my iPhone 6.
And it should even be safer, have them delivered to the general store.
It should be delivered on the 19th.
Everybody gets stuff delivered to the general store in town, so that's probably a safe bet.
Do you have AT&T coverage up there?
Not in Copper Harbor.
Oh.
Okay, good Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I wonder if I can get it
registered. Top of Brockway we do.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's only a 4-mile drive.
Yeah, I know. It's right there in town. I mean, you ride your bike up there all the time.
So, I run up there all the time.
Yeah. So, I'll probably wait until I get home. But, it's one of those things,
Well, I'll get you the address, just in case.
Okay, Joel's.
Although it's generally just, general store, Copper Harbor, Michigan, 49918.
There's a chat, by the way, Michael. If you want to open up your chat window on the Hangout.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's why I'm pulling up the...
Yep, I see it. Thank you.
Yep. They'd be there in 2 days.
2 days.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
It's the 5/16 by 18 by 5-inch cap screw threaded all the way, $2.90.
For stainless?
3/16 stainless steel.
Cool. Yep, that's what I'm looking for.
McMaster Car. I buy more of my hard-to-find hardware from McMaster Car on a daily basis at work, and you can buy as a private person.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know who they are. Thanks for reminding me. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, it's like anything else. If you don't use it every day, you kind of forget who the hell did I used to buy that from? And I do that all the time now.
I want to welcome everybody to the new Nuts and Bolts podcast.
Yeah.
We'll tell you where to find your favorite cap screws.
Know your difference between a coarse, mid, and fine thread screw. And, of course, it does differ between your metric and your U.S., but...
SAE and metric? Or exactly. You can get them confused, and they are not compatible.
Stay tuned for the... Maybe. Stay tuned for the cardboard podcast coming up next.
I love corrugated.
And wait for our exciting segment on left-handed versus right-handed threads.
That's what we should do. Just have a series of very...
What's right for you? Loctite red or blue?
Woo-hoo!
Without going to black.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would actually be fun to do.
I was actually thinking we need to do some skits, by the way, because I see all the political signs up now on every corner, making it impossible to see around.
Yep.
I got to be careful about that.
Now, I know, but still, it's just I'm only talking about the signs on the corners of streets at intersections, and you go, okay. I can't see the traffic coming. I'm in a little car.
Because you know how much I bitch about those goddamn signs.
I'm
familiar. For how many years have I been bitching about those signs? Even made a frickin' picture photoshopped with our sign
on
from the radio QRM days. That's how long it's been.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. I know. I think about it every time the signs come out and we're looking for a new governor.
And my, new governor. My beautiful bride has put one of those signs out in front of our house.
Okay, we'll leave that subject alone.
Yes. Oh, well. What can you
say? I'm actually watching the video on how to install this auxiliary port jack connector for a 2005 Prii.
Okay, how much is the kit?
You're right. They fall about $79.
Yeah, okay. Is it, what's the name of the manufacturer? I think it's probably...
Hashimoto Screen Door and Fence.
Do you get any bolts with it?
This one actually is... I'm looking at the one at GTACarKits.com.
I wonder if that's the one I was looking at.
And theirs is not. Theirs is $99, but it looks like it's a super... It will give you Bluetooth and an auxiliary.
Yeah, but my car's old. If it's cheaper to get just the auxiliary, that would be good enough.
This kit actually has a software update for it, too. That's nice.
Yeah, but if you look at the software update and they say, oh, yeah, you can control it, but it's actually giving it CD commands to change playlists and things like that. And I don't need that because I've got the cup holder and,
actually, no, this isn't it.
And I do it on the phone.
This is just an auxiliary to plug in the bottom of your iPhone, so it's nice.
Yeah.
You can just go right in and plug your iPhone in like I do on mine.
Yeah, that's all I need. That's all I want. And okay, we'll talk about it after the show. I might want to order one of those, and I should order two because I got to get my wife's auxiliary in the RAV4 has died.
What?
And it's infamous for these things dying, and she went to the dealer, and it'll cost her. Guess what it'll cost her? Come on, guess the price.
Wait. $200. I was gonna say $298.
No, that's a little over.
That's $110.
A little higher.
$150.
A little lower. It's the average price of things.
Average retail price is
$129.99. $120. To fix the little auxiliary thing, which is a plug. I've actually taken it out because they say a lot of times it's a solder problem. So I pulled it out, and I don't see cold solders, but then somebody said they probably use the lead-free crap solder.
Yeah, it is. Lead, and it sucks.
And somebody suggested you pull the thing out and just put it in a, reheat it.
Reflow it.
And see if that solves the problem. Because I don't see anything wrong with it unless the actual jack went bad. But it doesn't work. You plug the thing in and it comes on one side and the other side's not playing. And
can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Can we go to a Boneyard and get one out of a cracked up RAV4?
We could if there's a cracked up. And I don't know where the Boneyards are around here. So if you would like,
I'll show you where they're all at.
Okay, because I bet you we could pick one up there for $5 or $10. Mm-hmm. And they're easy to pop out.
Yep.
If there's any left. That's the
oh yeah, I'm sure there is.
Okay, because that would make my wife very happy, because she has given up the regular radio too, and she listens to nothing but radio stations and songs on her iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So that would really make her happy. So let's do that.
Sure.
But mine, I can't do that, so I'll have to buy a kit for mine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So
let's see here.
That would make me very happy too.
Not a problem. I'm looking for it now. What's that? That's a 2013?
No, 2010.
2010. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Welcome to the Ask Joel to Look Something Up podcast.
I like doing this stuff. I do it all day long. My job is to find the unfindable. And then I have to install it.
There'll be a YouTube out there that'll tell you how to install it.
But it's always usually for somewhere along the lines, for some manufacturing robot somewhere.
Hmm.
You know, some weird ass servo motor that you have to fold yourself in half to try and even get to.
All right. Well, you know what? We probably should. We're getting a little long in the tooth here. I think we're mm-hmm. under 2 hours.
That's cool.
So I think we'll call this one. And our musical guest tonight is insert name of band here, because I was busy doing other things this week. So we'll find something to play here. And with that, as we say every week at the end of the podcast, we want to thank all our military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, for what you're doing. And you know, it sounds like we're saying this for rope, but we do really mean it, because you guys are out there. You don't get paid well, but yet you have a call of duty to help protect this great nation of ours. We thank you for that, and especially you OCONUS guys who are in areas that doing things in places that you may not agree with, but you still do it anyway. Thanks, and we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. Until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. There we go. Toy boat. So, with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the man cave in the outskirts of Copper Harbor, Michael the Virtual Reaper.
And thank you. That'll be it for 153. 154 next week. And that's the last one before the big trip.
Woohoo!
So we'll see you then. Until then, here's insert name of band here.
Tonight's musical guest is Earth, Wind, and Fire with September. Badia.
Changing the mind, tender, while chasing the clouds.
Samson, speak. Good boy.